Right, hello everyone. Welcome to this latest edition of the XL podcast. It's a bit of a first, this one. Not only do I have returning guests, I think this is the first time we've had that, but I've also actually been asked by the guests if they could actually come on. And normally I'm twisting arms to do this, but it's... Well, it's a double act tonight. So some people will have their own versions of names for the two of them. But I'd like to be polite for the time being anyway, and welcome from Knowledgeably Instructor Training, both Lee Jowett and Mick Knowles together, not quite in the same place, but at the same time. Well, hi, guys, and thanks very much for giving up your time.
Hey, Kev. Thank you. Thanks for having us on. Thank you for taking us up on the offer, and always a pleasure to speak to you, even when I'm not speaking to you on my own and Mick's here as well.
Because there is a very specific purpose to this one, the reason why you've asked to come on, and you know, some people will be aware of the proposal that you've sent to the DBSA. There are probably a number of people who don't. So do you just want to go through just what it is that we're actually going to talk about today?
Yes. So just over a week ago, we sent a proposal to DBSA suggesting the need to reinstate an hour-long standards check and part three, with the thought process being that if you know and understand the elements of the national standards for driver and rider training, and the reasoning behind the standards and why they were introduced, and the order that they work in, and I will, you know, go into that in more detail, but the order that they work in, and the purpose of them, and the fact that it states within the national standards that you cannot demonstrate, it is neither meaningful nor realistic to demonstrate each element individually, that all three of the elements must be demonstrated in an integrated fashion to produce what is known as client-centered learning. And DVSA currently, whilst stating that in the standards, in my opinion, but also I think that if you look at the time scale and the bits that DBSA are not assessing, then whilst it's an opinion, it's also one, you know, that's, you know, it's almost something that you could state as fact. They're not assessing two of the three elements, and their own standards say you cannot demonstrate any of the elements in isolation. That makes really the role of an ADI and a PDI very difficult to satisfy what the standards say, and they're supposed to be, you know, our basis for conducting driving lessons. The knock-on effect, though, is huge, because the knock-on effect is that industry-wide, if you take, and again, this is, you know, this is stated in Merit, which was the, was it Merit or was it Gadget? We run that through my head. because I want to be right. That was Gadget. Yes, Gadget states.
We're going to accept whichever one it is. I think you, me, and
Gadget states that any changes that you make, the triangle of learning. So you've got testing, you've got the training process, and you've got the requirements. Any changes you make to any of those three elements will impact on the others. So when DVSA say we don't need to see communication, that has a knock-on effect to the training area, because when you take it out of the test, well, we all know, and DVSA are well aware, what happened with turning the road, for example, people stop training it. And people will have to focus when you've only got 40 hours with somebody to develop them from start to almost, you know, finish. Although if they take a trainee license, they may get an additional 20 hours. But when you've got just that short time period, people will focus on what's required to get somebody where they want to get to.
Yeah.
So you take it out, you have that knock-on effect on training to PDIs. You have a knock-on effect with current ADIs in the industry, because why do I need to be trained on something that I'm never going to be assessed on? And that has an impact on every single person that's taught to drive in this country. And what it states in the standards and in the syllabus is the need for communication, and the purpose of communication, and the fact that it's communication, it's the way we communicate, it's the way 6.3.1 is all about creating an environment where learning can take place. That environment isn't just about learning around MSPSL. It's about learning or people being free to learn and explore about themselves and who they are as a driver and what driving is to them. 6.3.2 is explain and demonstrate, which is just what we've always done. You know, it's about having the car moving. It's about EDP and how that works to develop skills and understanding and topic knowledge. And then the third element, which is where really the first element comes into play, is to coach. And so if DVSA don't want to see how ADIs and PDIs develop and create an environment where learning can take place and discourage people from coaching the person and encourage the car to be moving, then everything that's stated in the standards about creating safer drivers, Unit 1 of DVSA syllabus, which is all about helping people understand how their emotional responses can impact on the cause of collisions. Everything we know going back 40 years in collision research and KSI statistics and contributory factors, which are all about human behavior, 90 to 95% of KSI collisions are the result of behavior. We know what motivates behavior. And how do we address that? Communicating. You cannot tell somebody how to think, feel, and behave. Yeah. And so that is where we have gone with and took the fight to DVSA. So sorry for that rant, but
No. That sort of covered it quite nicely. I think all three of us, and you know, hopefully there is a good body of opinion out there that is all for this way of doing things. And you know, whether you talk about gadget merit or the higher levels of the GDE matrix, it's I did a session with Mick's got a looking forward to a session with Mad Vicky, one of my PDIs, but you know Vicky as well, in 2 or 3 weeks' time. And we did a session on Friday, and I was talking to Mick before we started this that I thought we were going to crash at one point, because I'm on the side of the car where the examiner is, and I could see the one coming towards us, and I thought, shit, you know, fortunately it got sorted out. Vicky, she won't watch this because she never watches it, listens to anything. didn't realise that there was anything there, and I said to Otto, she bloody well, you just had to say something. And what we're talking about afterwards was the lad knew what the problem was. He didn't need to be told there was something wrong. It was all about why. What was going through your mind? You know, I don't find any learner, really, there were very few times anyway, doesn't realise that something's gone wrong. But it's all down the wire. And one of the things, it's D-Day this week, isn't it? So Exeter Services last weekend was chock-a-block with bloody tourists, and there was a whole load of army vehicles, and we're doing right turns on this roundabout, and he's getting the wrong lane. Why is he getting the wrong lane? Well, partly because she's not sort of asking him where he's going, but he's watching all these bloody army vehicles and looking at them. but it's, you know, it's indicative of the things you're talking about our emotions, our thoughts, our behaviours. And how can we get that in 45 minutes when if we stop for 2 or 3 minutes, the examiner's trying to hurry us up?
And that's the thing. I mean, because we say 45 minutes, but that's without taking into consideration what they don't want to see. And what they don't want to see is communication. And then you say 45 minutes, but then you give or take, because that includes generally the discussion with the examiner before they get in the car, discussion in the car with the pupil, and the fact that we don't start the session at the training area, generally speaking, we start at the centre. So all of that, there and back to a practice area, discussion with the examiner, discussion with the pupil to get the wheels moving, could realistically take 15, 20 minutes of that session.
Yeah.
And then you're left with 25 minutes to develop a pupil on the move. Who's got time to do anything but try and keep the car moving and discuss things on the move? And what are we focusing on with that? We're focusing on the same things as the learner driver test, and that's it. And is it because examiners know and understand DL test?
Is our Scotland correspondent going to say anything at this point?
Sorry, I'm in a different time zone. I've lost my passport. I can't get back.
You're not in New Zealand. Don't you land there? Put your clocks back 30 years. It's not that bad.
The other thing with it is the reason why it's 45 minutes is because of COVID.
Yeah.
COVID was over 2021, you know, as in being back to work since 2021. They brought this in July or August 2020, and there's good reason. Yeah, at the time, you know, they're trying to keep their examiners on the road, trying to keep everyone safe, etc. You know, windows down, all that sort of stuff. So you can see why they did it, and they did it with following consultation with audit trainers. Yeah, so they had them on it. So
can I just they did it with 12 audit trainers, didn't they?
I'm not sure the number.
I got told 12. I have never yet met an audit trainer who was consulted on this.
I know two.
Oh, right. At least there were.
But I'm not
right.
But I'm not allowed to say because they're not allowed to tell anyone. I know two.
Right.
Of them.
Okay.
And I've not told Lee who they are. How about Lee?
But at least there are some. It's not a figment of the imagination.
They did it with a number of audit trainers.
Yeah.
So they had input from our side as well. But when it came out, it's a temporary measure. As I said, COVID finished in, well, the last lockdown finished in, was it March? In fact, it was Easter 2021, or around about that time.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Just after Easter, actually, because I remember I actually went and played golf on Easter Monday.
The first 2 days the tests were back. I had tests on both those days.
Yes, yeah. So did I. Yeah. But the golf course has opened on Easter Monday, and I went and played golf on Easter Monday.
Oh, it's bank holiday. You never get me working on a bank holiday anyway.
Exactly, yeah. So that, you know, that was then. And you can see, let's maybe extend it a little bit. So that they give themselves and ourselves a little bit more time to be safe and make sure he doesn't come back, etc., etc. But that's 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're still doing this temporary measure now. And it's like, it's not temporary now.
What are they assessing in that time? And what do they want to assess? And is it what should be assessed?
No. And what are they assessing? What they want to assess? I feel like I do sympathise with ADI examiners in that it must be difficult to assess something that you don't know and understand.
Yeah.
And this isn't a dig at, it's the reality that they've got a job to do every single day. At what point do they have time to go and do the amount of training that's required? Now, there are people, there are a lot of people, and this isn't a criticism of them either, it's just the reality, that have been through, for example, and it's no longer with us, but the BTEC 4 in coaching for driver development. And having completed that, they still don't understand coaching in driver development and its purpose and how to. So at what point is a DVSA examiner going to be trained to a standard where they can assess? But the issue they've got is that the standards say it.
Yes.
And the syllabus says it. So you've got two options. You either change what is written in your standards and change what is written in your syllabus, or you actually have to assess it. You can't write it and have it written in your own publications and clearly state that this is our role. There's three elements to our job: create an environment where learning can take place, explain, demonstrate, practice, and coach. And that this is all about creating drivers that understand who they are as a person, and that can create and come up with strategies to overcome their own barriers. And you can't write that and then not assess it. So it's an issue that they've created for themselves. And while I sympathise, I don't see an argument that, other than changing what's written in the syllabus and the standards, I don't see an argument that you can just carry on as it is. Something's got to change.
I know, talking to Vicky this morning, our senior examiner here joined the DVSA on the same day that John Sheridan did. Now, how many years ago was that? So he is, and she is wondering what his experience is of the evolving nature of the job and coaching. And I'm not saying that there's a problem there at all. And it's one of the things, I don't know what each examiner, what their experience is. And what have they done since? And have they got time to update their knowledge, let alone, it's more knowledge than skills, I suppose, for them. How aware are they of the whole modern way of doing things? And it's a bit of a don't know, really, because we don't know what the CPD is for examiners.
All we've got is our experiences. My experiences have been, laid out on podcasts many times about my experience of my last standards check, where I was told that I couldn't deliver a lesson that I can pinpoint in their syllabus, because if the pupil was already checking the mirrors, then how am I supposed to assess development? Because it's not fault focused, nothing to do with developing someone's thought processes, knowledge, understanding, and decision making. And then when my pupil panicked in the junction, decided to set off in front of a lorry, and we had a coaching conversation. Where we were going with that is that the last thing I was, the last message I got from the pupil before I was told to move on was that, I think I do. When I panic, I take risks I wouldn't normally take. And at that point, the examiner decided to tap me on.
Just as you're getting to the nitty gritty and the meat of it, let's get going.
Let's get the car moving. And then I was told at the end that she wouldn't have took her to smaller junctions, helped her to understand how she needs to feel in a junction to drive well and to get things right, and a compare and contrast. She'd have took us straight back to the big junction and challenged her. And so what she needs to learn, this pupil, is that when she's panicking, she needs to challenge herself.
and challenge you as well.
Well, so get me though, I'm not going to be
no,
there.
No, quite, but I was a bit flippant. Yeah. But,
and she's going to have a doctor in the car.
Yeah.
It's my issue. Yeah. And where the truck would have hit us is exactly where a doctor's going to sit. And she needs to know and understand that. And that's far more important. And, you know, what I've said now, because the position that I'm in now, in that I don't teach learners, I only use my ADI license now to sign off training hours, and I very rarely do that. The only other thing I've used it for is to take people on the motorway. I'm doing some lessons with a friend of mine, well, one of my good friend's sons, but I'm not charging him because I don't need to. So the motorway part of that is the only reason I need my ADI license. If that happened to me now, on my next standards check, I'd actually just tell the examiners to get out if they don't want to see it, because it'd be far more important to me what's happening next to me with the person than it would for them, for me to satisfy them. So, but I'm in a different position than I was then, because then my diary was 90% filled with learner drivers. So, but it's sad. Yes. And then, you know, we take on board also the fact that we see Part 3 reports and not so much standards checks, because, you know, they're not happening really, but Part 3 reports from all over the country. And we never, ever see, anything around level 4 of the GDE. We never see anything. We never see anything more than MSPSL.
No, I was just, I'm smiling here because I can virtually write every single one of those feedbacks. I've seen one, God knows how long, it was when one of ours passed back in February, there was nothing in there, basically because the woman had, Vicky took somebody who had a meltdown and had to deal with that. So MSM basically was out the window. It's the only report I've ever seen from our examiner that doesn't mention that. Yeah, it's all just around that.
And there's nothing around how that meltdown, I would imagine, could have contributed to the cause of a collision, and how she needed to understand that for post-test driving rather than just fixing something in the moment and routine.
Yes, we just had, well, I don't normally approve of you doing a demo, but in that situation, I think it was you had to, just to calm her down. And that was it.
And how does that help when she passed the driving test? But this is the thing, is that it states it in Unit 1 of the syllabus. And you can't state that in Unit 1 of the syllabus and have ADI examiners that don't even know that it's written in there and don't understand what they should be assessing at that moment. Because it doesn't work, does it? How can that work? They should know that, and they should know that when they see a meltdown, that could contribute to the cause of collisions. This person who's delivering this lesson now needs to focus their attention onto the person to help them, not to fix something for them, but to help them understand what happens to them and how that could contribute to the cause of a collision for them in the future, and how are you going to cope with it? And that's just in its basic form.
Yeah.
I've just got tonight, literally just before we came on live, I've just been sent an email from somebody I'm seeing tomorrow of her first attempt. And I've just read it now. And there's no mention of it. It does say about Q&A techniques, which encourage the trainee to reflect to some degree. But when you read it further, that reflection is all about car control. There's nothing at all in there. And then it says further on, accurate and in-depth reflection to develop the skills. And then the final bit is, it's all about manageable stretch and challenge to create an effective learning process. But it's all skills.
Yeah.
They put reflection in there, but it's not you know, the thoughts and the feelings. It's skills, car control, and it's effective learning. Where's that come from?
Before we sort of move on to thoughts about where this goes next, let me just play devil's advocate for a moment.
Oh, no.
And a conversation I've had with somebody, the people who have qualified with the 45-minute process and are used to that, and I have, it has been said to me, well, I felt I could, I can do everything I need to in those 45 minutes, and I'm happy to stick, I'd like to stick with that.
So my my answer to that is, first of all, it's a very test-focused industry, so we become focused on the elements. It's not enough. It's not enough. And everything states that it's not enough. I am more than happy for people, but I actually think that what we're proposing isn't going to make it more difficult. It would actually make it easier. Because first and foremost, there are many, many times when an examiner will have come out a couple of minutes late, will have got in the car a couple of minutes late. That discussion will have gone on for 3 or 4 minutes with the pupil, and they will have driven a distance to get towards where they're getting, and then they have to get back, and the examiner will still give them an amount of time that equates to 45 minutes from the moment that they came out, or they were due, sorry, to start the assessment. And that makes your job so much more difficult. Then you've got the fact that we have clear guidance. We have the national standards. It lays out the role. And it's not, you know, the national standards, when you look at the role, it's only, you only have to learn about 6 pages. And there are 12 points in 6.3.1, 13 in 6.3.2, and only 6 in the coaching element 6.3.3. Yeah, but that's what you need to know and understand because that's your role. It's not huge. Yeah. It's not chapter and verse. But if they're assessing to their standards, and we know the standards, then that's going to be a lot easier, because at the minute, it's a bit of a guessing game based on the examiner, based on what are they looking for?
Yes.
What suits? And we don't know. We don't have clear answers. And trainers up and down the country don't have a clear answer, because whilst the standards say something, actually each separate examiner and each separate test centre can say something completely different.
Yes, that's conversations that we've had down here with the trainers. Just what are they looking for? And we've asked if we can actually get together. And I know there was a move 2 or 3 years ago, just after COVID, that our, the main examiner here was saying that we're going to arrange something. And then it became all the DVSA are going to arrange some sort of presentation for all audit trainers to use. Well, you know, fortunately, I haven't held my breath waiting for that.
Well, Kev, it's going to come. You know, they're up to date with everything. You just have to look at the ADI 21T and ADI 2180, and they're up to date. So, I'm lost.
Excuse me. You haven't read what somebody said in the featured instructor section of the kit mag this month.
No, they're up to date. No, I think I'm losing the plot. I think the dizzy heights have been in Scotland.
I can't remember when I did the hour training for the emergency stop on the last 20 minutes.
You mean you don't spend an hour on that?
No, I think we did 2 hours on that last time.
Yeah, you should do, because you should do an hour.
Two hours on each, one of them.
It's actually, well, if you look at it, it could be 2 hours on the initial 40 hours and then 1 hour on the 20.
Yeah.
It's a 3 hour, it does take 3 hours.
Funny how my learners don't take that long.
The one last point I'd make on it, and I think at times as an industry we need to take a look in the mirror from top to bottom, from trainers, from DVSA to ADIs and PDIs, is that actually it doesn't matter really what we want. What matters is safer roads.
Yeah.
We're not talking about something that's the difference between somebody getting an A or a B in science. We're talking about things that could, you can argue whether it will, but we're discussing things that could be the difference between somebody making a choice, like my pupil, who responded, reacted impulsively, reactively, and she knew by the end of our conversation she was getting it, and then the examiner moved us on. That could make somebody more aware and help them to make a safer choice in the future when they feel in the same way. It doesn't matter what we want. It's not important what any single PDI or ADI's preference is, because if we save one life, to me, that is worth all the training that somebody needs. And we should. I'm sorry, but I make no excuses for the fact that every single one of us in this industry should look beyond our own ego, and every single one of us should want to be able to help people around all 12 elements of the GDE matrix.
Which leads me really nicely on to where do you go from here? And I suppose it's in some ways changing hearts and minds, and whose hearts and minds need changing?
Well, I think that's the thing. We've had a response from DVSA. Shall I read it out?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Do go. We've had the privilege of listening to it once already. So sadly, people won't see the facial expressions as the eyebrows go up and the eyes roll. But I don't think anyone is going to be too surprised by what it contains. But it is.
To be fair, because I think it would have been an easier response for them to say that we're happy with our current procedures and that we feel like we cover all the elements that are laid out in the national standards. That's what I was expecting, regardless of whether I agree or disagree. The response that I got from Loveday Ryder says, thank you for your email of the 24th of May about reinstating the approved driving instructor ADI Part 3 assessments and standards checks to the hour-long format. We do appreciate the feedback we receive from the ADI community and welcome all ideas. It is important to us that we continue to work together to make our roads safer. I can confirm that we will be reviewing the qualification process to become an ADI with the aim to start this work in the coming months. As part of this work, we will consider your suggestions as well as engaging with the ADI industry. Once again, thank you for your time. Sorry for taking the time to share your suggestions. So, DVSA in writing are on board.
It's more positive than, as you say, than the standard thing that comes out that I got. Because I wrote to my MP about, Chris Pence did, had something, didn't he, about test times. Yeah. And I just got this, because it goes to the DFT, who just ask the DVSA to reply. And it's like the examiners marking their own homework on that sort of thing. But this is a lot more positive. And if they're reviewing it or going to, is there an opportunity for us as a community and those who feel so that they want to actually add to the pressure that you two have already put upon them?
I would love for that to be the case. I would love people in our industry who care about what we do and the way we do it to get on board and back this, and as much as backing this, put their own proposals forwards, put their own suggestions. I massively believe that as we are currently, we are, and I go back 10 years when client-centered learning came in and the excitement that I had about it, because, you know, the time both me and Mick had already done a BTEC in coaching for driver development, and, you know, we're already delivering training around coaching and etc. Well, I feel like currently what we're doing in terms of what's being assessed on a part three and a standards check is what we always did. Explain, yeah. Demonstrate, 6.3, 6.2, explain, demonstrate, practice under a different name. Yeah. And I go back at the time to now ex-ADI examiners that took up senior roles within DVSA, who stated many times as short back as last August, it's just what you've always done under a different name. Well, if you know the standards, you know that that's not the case. If you're just assessing what you believe is client-centered learning, and what you believe is client-centered learning is what people have always done, then of course, yes, but read your own standards, because coaching isn't, creating an environment that will facilitate a coaching conversation is not what ADIs have always done. The explain and demonstrate bit in the middle is what ADIs have always done. That's just one element. So, I'm sure Mick's got a view on it, because I'm, you know, he's probably sick of hearing me talk. But I would love people to get on board. That's, you know, that was why we wanted to, you know, get you to push this out.
Well, that's why I was more than happy to do it, because I'm totally with you on this. And I shall make sure that the people down here at least know what my view and your view is. Obviously, everyone's going to make their own mind up, but I find it very difficult to find an argument against what you're saying. And I would defy anybody to.
I do. I'm not being funny, but I do. You know, having read it and looked at it and put it together, I find it very difficult to argue against, which is kind of why I'm of the opinion that DVSA might have looked at that and gone, we find it very difficult to put an argument against it. We've got to do one thing or another, change what's written or change what we're doing, change what we're assessing. I don't see anything in between the two that's a realistic outcome.
Yes, it seems to be a similar situation that you get with a learner who is reversing and knows they've got to steer a different way, but don't know which way. And I just say, just try one. Let's try something. If it don't work, it don't work. But just don't go so fast that you go and crash into something. If something needs to change, let's at least try something.
And whilst generally speaking, in life, we should always be looking forwards. Actually, in this case, part of the answer is to look backwards. When you introduced the standards in 2011 and the standards check in 2014, what was the purpose? Look at what went into all of that work, and then why have you thrown it away? You know, we spoke to two prominent DVSA officials, staff, or whatever you would call them, staff, DVSA staff in high positions at the conference, at the ADINJC convention, and you know, I just feel like we give them too much credit for listening, like wow, great, but they did, and to be fair to one of them, I whittled on like this to her for about 15 minutes and she took it on board. Now, she come back and I came back to what she came back with. And to be fair, when I did that, she didn't come back with typical, or what I would consider typical DVSA. Well, she actually went, I see your point. I see your point. And the reason she explained as to why they kept the 45 minutes rather than reinstating the hour was because examiners were struggling to find time to deliver their engagement calls. And then you look at the engagement call.
I've got that written down here. I thought, shall we talk about that or not? But yeah, there's somebody waving like mad about this as well. Yeah, sorry, Lee, go on.
Yeah, I'll just finish this and then whatever you're doing there, Mick, you can... Yeah.
Making another video.
he's got to take his clothes off now. He's doing a video.
I don't know what he's doing. Is there any around like Benny Hill? I don't know what's happening. Yes.
I think he's got his trust ready to put on.
So the reason why it was explained is that ADI examiners were struggling for time to make their engagement calls. And whilst I sympathise with that and understand the pressure, when you look at what the engagement call focuses on, it focuses on the L test, pupils' faults in the N test. What do we know about the L test? It doesn't cover the key contributory factors in collisions. Research going back all the way to 1980 tells us that the roadway, carriageways, and the environment are not a principal cause of collisions. They're just a byproduct. There is a vehicle on that road at that time. It's what's in level 4 and level 3 of the GDE matrix. Now, if you're taking away the elements of communication that would help somebody to create an environment and then coaching them around the personal, you know, level 4 of the GDE's goals for life, skills for living, if you're taking away that, it must be for the purpose of creating safer drivers. And I can't find an argument that says to me that speaking to a PDI about what their, or ADI, about what their pupils have done on tests will in any way create a safer driver, because what's being assessed on your test is not a contributory factor in collisions.
Mine was a complete waste of time for my audit assessment last year. He said, "Oh, you've only done 14 tests. There's not much point talking about these, is it?"
And that's the thing. And even when there is a point in discussing it, it's only focused on the driving test.
Yeah.
And it's not focused on anything. So you've got rid of elements that could, and you can argue it, save lives for the sake of something that focuses on the L test and faults on the L test. It's pointless. It's pointless. Yeah. It serves no purpose because it doesn't go into the reason and the cause for the way people behave on that test. And the faults that they commit, the cause of the fault, which is often what we know to be human behaviour based on the thought processes on the day and the impacts that has on the emotional state and Unit 1 of DVSA syllabus, how that emotional state could contribute to the cause of collisions, i.e. an examiner, is it the dual controls three times in 30 minutes? So, right. I'm going to stop talking. I think Mick...
Hopefully Mick's forgotten what he's going to talk about now.
What are we doing here?
I know what we're doing and what you're doing.
I don't think we want to know
I'm
that.
Cold. I'm in shorts. I'm cold.
Too much information.
That's what I was doing. But I haven't put them on yet. So the engagement call is only... for standards checks, and there's not many. There are some, because I got told of one that had happened last week, a standards check, but the vast majority of them are part threes. So there's no engagement calls. So I'm just trying to wrap my brain when the engagement call started.
I can't remember whether it started
when they brought the standard check back, or whether it was the triggers. And I think it was the triggers, but I've got something in the back of my head saying it was actually after COVID, but I think it was the triggers.
The triggers came in in that August, didn't they? So we came back in July, and then the triggers came in the August, or they announced them.
August, no, it was the following, it wasn't until September 2022, I think, when the triggers came in. So it was a year later.
They discovered that they're applying to PDIs as well, which eventually...
And that was in the December 2022. Yeah. And you're right, that was sneaked in. So if the engagement calls started when the triggers came in, they've left it a year until that's come in and then got
it was all designed around putting pressure, wasn't it, on whether that's the way they want to wrap it up or not, but it was all designed to put pressure on ADIs, in my opinion, in the mistaken belief that the reason why, you know, the pass rate is where it is, 47% or wherever at any one time, is because ADIs take enough pupils to test that genuinely aren't ready to have a massive impact on pass rates. Yeah. And I'm going to say now, categorically, that is incorrect. That is just not the case. And it was all designed to put the pressure on. This is what will happen to you if you do such and such. We will monitor you on your triggers. We want people with a pass rate of, you know, but I'd love to see the statistics. I'm not sure whether they've ever been done. But has anyone ever done any research into people who pass their test first time, and not a minor prang, but KSI collisions? Because it would be interesting, because my thought process is, what type of person is most likely to perform under pressure, an introvert or an extrovert? And what sort of person's most likely to be involved in a fatal collision? An introvert is very likely to struggle with the driving test, but very unlikely to have a KSI collision. So have you ever done any research? Because if first-time passes don't create safer drivers, then other than bringing down waiting times in the misguided belief that that will ever happen, that the driving test pass rate will ever shift massively one way or another without changing the context of what's being assessed. Because the sample size is that huge. Yeah. It's that huge. You're never going to shift it unless you go, we'll just change how we're assessing it and what we're assessing. And so with that in mind, this was never going to work. And all they did with the triggers is create an amount of work that they couldn't ever keep up with.
And create fear amongst ADIs.
And until we get a holistic view of a driving test, and does it have to be called a test? I can think, one of ours, I think Christy it was, she had somebody on test 2 or 3 weeks ago, got back to the test centre, and the examiner is saying that was a terrific drive, but you've got to stop at a stop sign. Now, you know, all right, you've got to stop at a stop sign. I understand that. But if you've gone so slow that a snail could overtake you, and that's the only thing in the whole bloody drive that's a problem, you know, what sort of driver are you? I had a girl years ago, I can remember, she had one fault, one serious fault, no minors, drove a bit over 20 mile an hour for too long through a 20. The next day I had somebody pass on 14 minor faults. Now, which of those two did I think was the better driver?
Well, just not even knowing them two drivers, just listen to what you said there. Somebody that drove a little bit too slow was the only issue she had, and somebody that had 14 issues. There's something wrong there, isn't there? If it was too fast, then yes, you maybe understand it, but too
sympathize
slow.
Sympathize with you know the Altest and the fact that it's kind of structured. Well, it is structured around fault, and I do.
Yes.
I struggle to come up with a suggestion for that that would be better. I struggle because the issue is that someone drives really well and demonstrates, and then you will get, you know, you put that out to certain Facebook groups and you will get people, you will get people saying it's a stop sign. You've no argument. But I agree. I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you in that if the context was that she should have stopped and she didn't quite stop and it was safe, and then, but legally and legalities and but it is what it, you know, it's difficult because I've had the same where I've had a pupil drive so well and go in a bus lane that was in operation. And I've had somebody, I'll never forget the feedback from the examiner. It's the best feedback I've ever heard. She got 15 minor faults, and it was the same day as this other person, and same examiner. And he said to her, "Do you know where Whitefield is?" She said, "No." He said, "Oh, good, because I don't want to drive behind you." And unfortunately, it's my displeasure to tell you that you have passed today. You didn't quite do enough.
But positive, negative.
Because I don't want to be sat behind you. Basically, what she'd done was drive everywhere really slow because it's my driving test. And so if I drive really slow. So it was funny, and I think at times, to be fair to examiners, they probably do get frustrated with things like that. I think he was certainly frustrated with it.
Anyway, I've taken up enough of your time tonight, I think, and probably mixed starving hungry there. I think we've sort of clarified the issues that you wanted to talk about. I certainly will make sure this gets out to the community down here, and obviously anybody who wants to listen to the podcast. So thanks very much. I know probably our mutual social media manager will be all over this like a rash when it comes out, finding out what we've been saying about her, and desperately disappointed that it's taken 53 minutes to even mention her.
The brilliant Alison Harper.
Oh, that pain. You mean the pain? The pain.
The brilliant Alison Harper.
Before we go, though, just something for you, Mick, that I just want to ask you, because where you've been today, and the fact there's the two of you that are, with all the experience you've got and all the contribution you make, both of you, but you specifically today, Mick, have been doing some CBD for yourself. And how important that is to you, or both of you, I know.
Yeah, so I've been up in Glasgow again, module 2 of Bright Coaching's diploma. What was it, 15 ADIs on it. Really good day, really enjoyable. Coaching conversation after coaching conversation, using different models, etc. But yeah, really, really good. And somebody asked me, quite a few people asked me why. Quite a few of the delegates on the course. Why are you doing this? Because I want to. Mm. I want to develop. And some of the content is stuff that I already know and understand. But it's refreshing as well. It's going, and like I said to one of the delegates today, I've repeated courses over and over again, not just in this industry, but in my last, in my previous life, because you, even if something is said word for word, the next time you go and they say this exactly the same, you pick something else up, and you know what I mean. So yeah, it's really good. I enjoy it, and it's self development. I've already got a couple of ideas of what I want to do next. This diploma is over four sessions, so it finishes in December. So back up here in September, and then again in December. But next year, I've already got what I want to do next year for my CPD. I'm not going to do any more this year because I've got a lot on, and there's a lot of work. excuse me. There's a lot of work. My voice is gone. That's why I've been sat quietly.
It's a very subtle way of saying I want to get to the bar. Shut up. Let's go.
No. Lee knows it keeps going at the moment. But where was I? There's a lot of work on, and I just can't fit in another CPD course because it's not that it's not a one-day session. It's 2, 3, 4 days or whatever the ones I want to do. So it's over a period of time. But so up in the, I'm currently in the Dakota Euro Central Hotel.
A grade or two above the one that Knowles Universal Nationwide Travels books for me.
This no, room, you can see, can you there just see the door down there? That's about 400 metres away. It takes me 5 minutes to walk to the big, huge walk-in toilet shower. Yes, I'm sat in a leather chair at a leather desk.
Well, we're just...
We don't get that in. We don't get
well,
that.
Well, Lee doesn't, certainly. This,
That's nice wallpaper you've got there, Lee. Is that a Premier in by any chance? We have pictures on our walls here. I've got a lovely brick wall. It's lovely. It's beautiful.
Yeah, really well, nice. On that score, let's mute him and get rid of him. I thought I would just add that bit in that we all still learn. The day we say we don't is the day to pack up.
Yeah, and the other thing with this that I was trying to bring up, and I've spoken to Stuart Lockery, who runs the course, about this, is it's only available in Motherwell, Glasgow. And it's only available there because he needs to get his trainers somewhere else, and they've got families, etc., etc. But what's stopping ADIs from travelling up to Glasgow? We've got motorways in England and motorways in Scotland, and the motorway here is literally it's about 500 metres away from the hotel. And you're straight in. It's great. So there's nothing to stop people from travelling to CPD. Yes, it means.
Or they can stay closer to where they are, and they can come and do a 2-day coaching workshop. I'm currently delivering our Edge Excellence in CARP. 2-day training course in Dudley. 5 brilliant ADIs and PDIs. A local trainer, Hardy Al, who's helping me to deliver it. And we're all developing. We're all developing. Hardy Al's developing. It gives him the opportunity to deliver a 2-day in-car coaching course. It's given me the opportunity to deliver the course that we've produced and learn from delivering it and seeing people take it on board. And it's given, 5 ADIs and PDIs the opportunity to learn and develop. And, we're taking that around. Spoke to Graham Orr, who's in Scotland, about partnering up with him and going up to Scotland and delivering it up there as well, and we're delivering it in Manchester next month. So,
and not only that, they could also sign up to the Video Hub and develop from the comfort of their own home,
yeah,
or car, or wherever they want to watch the videos.
What videos are they though? Look a bit.
how much was I quoting the fee for plugging all these courses? Suddenly seems to have taken up most of the time. No, but seriously, though, it's from the reviews you get, it's clearly it works for people.
And what I would say, just on the aside and related to what we are here to talk about, is that this is the thing that we put in the proposal to DVSA, is that quite frankly it's ridiculous and it's embarrassing and it's annoying to go and deliver the training that we deliver around what's written in their standards, what's in the syllabus, and what we know from the GE matrix and all of the research models, and then turn around to delegates and say, yes, but DVSA won't want to see it. This course that I'm delivering, it's a 2-day in-car coaching course. Day one is all about the things that DVSA will want to see, which is coaching around the doing elements of driving. But tomorrow is all about coaching around the human being, human factors, level 4 of the GDE matrix. Do I need to see that? Do I need to show this and demonstrate this on a standards check or a part 3? Probably not. And it's almost embarrassing, really. Not me, but when I'm talking about DVSA and saying, well, it's in the standards, it's in the syllabus, I can show you what it says, I can show you how it relates, and then go, but they don't understand it, so they don't want to see it.
Yeah,
they need to change.
Well, let's hope that what you're doing and things like this can be a catalyst for that change. So thanks ever so much, guys, for giving up your time tonight. I don't think you see it as giving it up, because it's there's a positive side to this, hopefully, that at least we can try and change minds. Oh dear, somebody's yawning away there. It's obviously past his bedtime. the archers has finished, so he's off to bed now.
It's been a long 2 days. I left home at 5:30 yesterday morning. It's been a long 2 days.
I'm
off for some dinner.
Look, guys, thanks ever so much for doing this. I'm ever so grateful, and we'll get this out as soon as
possible.
Thanks,
Kev. Get some manic pills, Mick.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah,
cheers for having us on, Kev.